right, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, and we will just look at one verse as our starting point this morning. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. I grew up afraid of the dark, and maybe you did too. I was afraid to go down in our basement. It was dark, and there were invisible, scary objects down there, I thought. We had a mirror at the end of our hall, and I scared myself more than once going to bed, walking down that dark hall, and seeing an object moving towards me. And I was too sleepy to realize it was myself that I was seeing. I grew up in the city. We had street lights. And then when we went to the country to visit my grandparents, it really was dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face in the darkness. And that was something that I wasn't used to. But as I grew older, I found out there was a lot of darkness in this world. Deceitfulness, perversion, cruelty, abuse, depravity. There really is a lot of darkness in our society, in our world. But when we understand the message of Christ, we don't have to be afraid of the dark. Christ is our light. I want to show you this morning that if we have that light, we have hope. Now, the verse that we just read is an introduction, tells us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. 1 John 1:5 says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That reminds me, as we go clear back to the opening verses of Genesis, it was darkness. God spoke into the darkness and said, "Let there be light." And through the power of his word, light drove out darkness. But something happens as we turn over to Genesis chapter 3, mankind loved darkness rather than light, and the darkness of sin began to settle on this world. Romans 1:21 says, "Their foolish hearts became darkened." And for thousands of years, most of the world waited in the night of sin. Satan was the ruler of this world system, and all who were under his control were in that darkness. There were only a few who were enlightened. They had received the light of God's word. They were to share that light, but they tended to hold it to themselves and not to share it. And the light nearly went out as we waited for light to come. It was in the midst of that night and that darkness that Isaiah sees a ray of hope. Isaiah prophesies these words, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." You may not be as familiar with Isaiah chapter 60, but again, here is that theme of light. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears to you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." There's that theme all through the scripture, the theme of darkness and light. But the light really would not come for another 700 or more years. Finally, there was that ray of light. John the Baptist came on the stage of history. And he was not the light, but he was a witness to the light. Finally, we turn into Matthew's gospel and we read these words again. "The people living in darkness have seen a great light." Finally, the light had come. It was the birth of Jesus. "Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And so with the coming of Jesus, with the birth of the Christ child, it was light penetrating into the darkness. And Jesus will tell us these words that are recorded in John 12 and verse 46. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Let me just say to us that in spite of the darkness that's around us, thank God we have light. And we live in a lightened era in comparison with the generations in the annals of history. But today there's a battle raging between darkness and light. In John's Gospel chapter 1, I'm reading from the New International Version, where it says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. I don't want to get on a sidetrack here, but in 2011, there was an update, a revised edition of the New International Version. And the New Revised Version says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. A major change there of one word. And that particular verb could have either meaning. It could mean to overpower or to comprehend or understand. Now John uses that same verb in John chapter 12 and verse 35. There he says, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. The man walking in the dark does not know where he is going. Well, there the idea is of darkness overtaking light. And I think that's the meaning here. It is not likely that these people who are in darkness are really trying to understand the truth. As a matter of fact, they've rejected the truth. They've suppressed the truth. That's why they're in darkness. It is more likely that this new rendering is correct, where it says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. The meaning there is very profound, is that light dispels darkness. Go into the darkest room, the scariest room of the house, and all you have to do is flip on the switch, and light drives out darkness. And so there is that battle raging between darkness and life. But it came to a head at the cross. I think it's very significant that when Jesus was dying on the cross, at the peak of light, noon, instead of it being noontime brightness, it got as dark as night, and for 3 hours, from noon until 3 p.m, there was darkness that covered the face of the deep. Not only was that a physical darkness, that was a spiritual darkness, but the light prevailed. And the truth of what John is telling us is that light will always prevail. We're realistic and we're concerned about the encroaching darkness. We're concerned about the pagan practices that are coming into our culture. But remember, light always dispels darkness. The darkness cannot last forever because Christ is triumphant over darkness and death. And so the Bible tells us that a new day has dawned. The darkness will never conquer the light. Right will always win. Truth will never fail. We believe those things in spite of everything that we see unfolding around us. But realize that this battle is ongoing and it becomes a personal thing. We must embrace the light. Now, I'm still in John's Gospel, but here, John chapter 1 and verse 9. The context here tells us that John the Baptist was not a light, was not the light we were waiting for. He was only a witness to the light. Of course, the true light is Jesus Christ. And verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That is the Advent. We talk about Advent season, and officially, this is the kickoff Sunday for Advent season. And that's what we're celebrating, is that light has come into the world, and that to a greater or lesser degree, Everyone has been exposed to some light, to some truth, to some gospel. But realize that just because we have seen the light does not mean that we have embraced the light or that we're walking in the light. There comes this matter that we must accept, embrace, or believe the light in order to receive the light of salvation. Now, Peter writes about this, and he talks about the light that is shining in a dark place. And if you look at that context, the dark place is our heart. And he went on to say that we must pay attention to this light. And if we do, the day will dawn. The morning star, Christ is the bright and morning star. He is the star of hope, that Christ will arise within our heart. But you see, there's a personal response. And Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 13, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. That's the new day of the gospel. So here is your response. It's not an automatic thing. We can live in a gospel age. We can live in a Bible belt. We can live with Bibles at our disposal and churches on every corner, but we can still choose to live in darkness if we do not embrace that light. So Paul here tells us, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The problem is that many people who have seen the light have chosen not to embrace it. Now, if it's convenient, turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 9. And I think this is a significant statement that Jesus makes. It's verse 19. John 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, and that's what we're celebrating. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. You know, I talked about dark rooms and dark basements, and you know, the solution to all that's just turn the light on. But as strange as it seems, there are those who would rather stay in the darkness because the darkness is a cover over their evil deeds. And so that's why that we see an encroaching darkness in our culture today. Is it a choice, a conscious choice, that we love darkness rather than light? Because, just to put it plainly, you know, if you've been sleeping in and somebody flips the switch, the light hurts your eyes, doesn't it? And you groan and say, oh, turn that light out, that hurts my eyes. I think that's what our culture is saying to the gospel. I think that's what our culture is saying to Christianity. Don't tell me this is wrong. Don't tell me that is wrong. All of this light that you're trying to shed only hurts my eyes. Leave me in the comfort of my own darkness. John Wesley observed that when preliminary grace begins to dawn in the hearts and lives of people, that in most cases, it is stifled as soon as possible. He said God visits every soul, though most either forget or deny the experience. Every one of us has encountered light, but we tend to suppress it. We tend to deny it because it makes us uncomfortable. Now, you realize that we are moving. I'm just picking up some key passages that talk about this theme of light and darkness all throughout the Scripture. And finally, we come to the climax. We come to the book of Revelation, and we read that those who finally reject the light end up in a place called hell, a place of outer darkness. That's this theme brought to its conclusion. But those who embrace the light receive more and more light. You may be familiar with this verse out of Proverbs. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines ever brighter until the full light of day. What that means is, if you will embrace light, God will give you more light. If you will embrace the truth that you are aware of, God will give you more truth. And so as we walk towards the light, it becomes brighter and brighter until we finally arrive at our final destination in heaven, a place that is so full of light that there's no need for the sun or the moon, because Christ Himself is the light. Isn't that interesting? Because of the choices we make, because of our reaction to light, we either wind up in a place of outer darkness, or we wind up in a place that is full of light. So I think this is a fitting way for us to kick off the Advent season. It's no wonder that Martin Luther, the Bible scholar that he was, put lights on his Christmas tree. Now, I think in those days they were candles, and they were maybe a little more of a fire hazard than what we have today. But Luther had the right idea theologically. The idea is, at this season of the year, sometimes my family says to me, "Let's go out and look at Christmas lights." It's interesting, the days are becoming shorter. The darkness is becoming longer, but something penetrates that light. And you know, people who have rejected the gospel still have not rejected the symbolism. And many people who don't know Jesus still hang lights, because Jesus is the light of the world. And we celebrate the hope that He brought into a dark world. You know, you just can't analyze the Christmas story without bringing in the wise men. Although they come a little later in the story, do you remember they followed the light? They followed that star. And as they followed what light they had, you know, apparently they began in Babylon. Apparently all they knew were the prophecies of Daniel. Apparently they didn't have as much light as the Jewish people who had access to the Old Testament. But they responded, they embraced the light they had, and it led them all the way to the manger. It led them all the way to Jesus Christ. And so again, that is true in our spiritual formation. If you will embrace what light you have, it will become clearer and brighter as you move towards Christ. Now, the warning is, don't reject the light. Even if it hurts your eyes, adjust to the light. You know, you may feel like the living room is clean, and then you turn on the lights and you see all kinds of dust and you see all kinds of things out of order. And the easiest thing to do is just to turn the light back off so nobody will see that. But actually, that is a denial of reality, isn't it? Turn the lights on as bright as they can, and you will see things for what they are. If you will embrace the light, the first thing that will happen to you, when the light comes on in your own heart, you will not like what you see. See, we all look pretty good in the dark, but you turn the lights on and we don't look so well, some of us. But embrace the light, accept the light, and make the adjustments that need to be made. While others are stumbling in darkness, walk in that light. While others live in fear or ignorance, embrace the light. We rejoice that the light has come. Now, as we see the light of the gospel, as we see the light of Christ, we see ourselves and we don't always like what we see. But keep looking at Jesus and keep praying that He will make us more like Himself. He will make us into His image and likeness. That is the salvation that He has come to bring. Well, let's stand and give the Lord thanks for the light that He has shed into our dark world. And let's pray. Let's embrace the light. Open your heart. Open every room of your soul to the light. And allow the sunlight of His love to stream into your heart and transform you. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. We realize that because of our own choices, we have chosen darkness rather than light. But I thank You that light continues to penetrate in. We can't block the darkness out. The light finds a keyhole somewhere. It finds a break in our blind somewhere, and the light begins to stream in. And if we'll open the windows of our heart towards heaven, thank you for the light and the warmth and the illumination that comes because of Jesus Christ. Lord, we open our hearts to Him. Make us like Him. And help us to rejoice this whole season that light has come and no one can turn back that light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.